Worship you for me.
Oh, here's my gift.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. No one, absolutely no one, can worship you for me. I give you praise, Father. As your people, we give you praise together. This congregation worships you. We magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're worthy of all praise, all worship, all adoration. You seek those that will worship in spirit and in truth. Find those people here today. Find that person in me today. Find that person in us today. For you are worthy, Lord. You're worthy. Lord, oh God, we want to testify this day that you are altogether good and your goodness is revealed to us. We cannot be confused. We cannot be deceived concerning this. For we have a personal relationship with you. You've taken us behind the veil and revealed yourself to us. And now we can say, it is true that the people that know their God are strong, they are mighty, they are great, and they do great exploits. May we, O God, be the manifestation of all of that. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, my worship. All of my worship. Thank you, Father. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and I receive that greeting. Oh, the God we serve is a good Father. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Could somebody move this, the mic stand and stuff, out of the way? Blessed be the name of the living God. Today is the 21st day of June. Hallelujah. But I would like to not only read to us this morning the devotional for today, the 21st, but I would like to read to us the devotional for yesterday, June the 20th. June the 20th is captioned Disciples or Converts. Disciples or Converts. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are going to reach the world, this entire world, for Christ before Jesus comes again. That is the purpose, the core, the heartthrob of our ministry. It is so exciting to be part of what God is doing in these last days. But it will take an army of God's people to complete it. It will take an army of God's people from every walk of life, working together in the power of God. The biggest need in our churches today is not for people to become disciples of Jesus Christ. The reason why we have not taken this world is because we have been making converts, not disciples, sons, not soldiers. Let me read that again so it sinks in. The biggest need in our churches today is for people to become disciples of Jesus Christ. The reason why we have not taken this world is because we have been making converts, not disciples, sons, not soldiers. A convert, according to the dictionary, is a person who is brought over from one belief or view to another. Converts are people who change their minds concerning their religious concepts, then sit in the church and become lazy spiritual bumps on a log. So true. They become good for nothings who spend more time watching television and reading their secular literature than they do in prayer, the Word of God, or out winning lost souls. Converts can use their time for entertainment and sports, and in the meantime, let whole cities or nations go to hell. Yet they think that one day the trumpet is going to sound and the Lord is going to rapture them. They will have a rude awakening. The church Jesus is going to rapture is made up of disciples, not just converts. But the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Make this declaration with me. I will not just say, Lord, Lord, but I will do the will of God the Father. I will reach out in power and authority to a lost and dying world. Praise the Lord. Before I read the devotional for the 21st, how many of you read the story of the 10 virgins? 5 wise and 5 foolish. They were all invited, weren't they? Well, how many got to go in? The 5 what? What happened to the foolish ones? They are shut out and said, I don't know you. That's the difference between converts and disciples. That's the difference between what? Converts and what? Disciples. Converts think they have arrived. Disciples are always growing, learning, and obeying. You understand? Converts, that's a starting point. But you've got to become a what? A disciple. Don't just be a convert. Be a disciple. Always learning the things of God and continuing. Amen? Praise the Lord. June the 21st. It's captioned Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. Peter and the other disciples became what I call proof producers. When they went into a city, it was not all talk. It is easy to teach. Anybody can instruct somebody else. To face the power of the enemy and produce the proof that Jesus Christ is alive is another matter. That was the task of the early church, that the early church had to perform. They had to convince a world that had seen Jesus in the flesh. They had to convince a world that although they had seen Jesus act like a man, hungry, tired, weary, thirsty, sleepy, that inside that house of muscle and bone dwelt the Son of the living God. In a real sense, our job is easier. People saw him and says, that's God. Right. They produced the proof. They turned cities upside down, but they did not do it by just preaching. Hallelujah. They turned nations upside down, but they did not do it just by preaching. They did this by the signs and wonders that took place in their ministries when they first went into a community. Each time a notable miracle will take place that shook the entire region. The first such recorded incident was the healing of the lame man at the gate of the temple, as it is written in the third chapter of the book of Acts. The man had been lame from the time of his birth. Yet, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. After this tremendous message, a living demonstration of Christ took place. I'll make this declaration with me again. I have the same power resident within me as the Apostle Peter. God will work through me in the same way. I will produce the proof. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, make us truly disciples. Make us truly proof producers. All of us. Every one of us. Use us as your people in this last of the last days to produce a proof that we serve a living God who cannot be limited by anything or by anyone. are people surrendered to you, sold out to your purpose, fulfilling your mandate, taking on the mission, and bringing forth the result that glorifies your everlasting name and sees your people edified, not only converted, but disciples. In Jesus, our Lord's name, we thank you, Father, that it is done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. At this time, Mama is going to come and lead us in our time of continued intercession. And as she comes, ready yourself for what God has for us as his people. Amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Good morning. Hallelujah. Yes, yes.
Well, we said we want more people in church, and God has increased us. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
And now we want limitless.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you continue to declare that, and you continue to declare healing for our nation. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let us open in prayer, and then we'll read the word and the service continues. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for our lives. Yes, we thank you for our families. Oh, we thank you that you took us through. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Even when death was rampant, you spared us. Lord, we want to give you praise. Can you say a big thank you to him? Thank you, Lord. Angel of death, pass over every one of us. We thank you for your protection. And those who happen to be struck, Lord, protect the remaining of their family. Be with them and comfort them. And give them the grace to move on, to have a hope for tomorrow, knowing that, God, you are still in control. And you have authorized us to speak over our lives. Lord, we speak life. Life is always in our lives. Your life, and it cannot be quenched. We thank you for our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, grandparents, parents, and all our families. And we lift them before you, Almighty God. We thank you, Almighty God, for this Father's Day, that you remember all the fathers. Without the fathers, there won't be mothers. Lord, we thank you, Almighty God, for children you have given to us. We and the children you've given to us, you say they are for signs and wonders. Bless all the children of Glory and Peace Church, Glory and Peace Family, Lord. All our biological children, all our spiritual children, all our partners all over the world. Bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. From age 120 plus to zero, those in seed form, those walking around, running around, moving around, just walking in the air, that your hand of protection is over every single one of them, that your blessing is upon their life. You are their light and their salvation, and nothing shall touch them. Father, we thank you that the glory you've put upon them, no one can take it. But we give you all the mighty glory for all you have done for us. We live without you. Without you, we are nothing. So you are our everything. Father, take all the glory. Be magnified and glorified. We welcome your spirit. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of counsel. Spirit of might. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And all your spirit, which is your holy word. Let it move in our lives, in our church, ministry, business, nation, and every part of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, scripture today, Happy Father's Day. We're going to read from Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Well, you can stand or sit, it's up to you. We have a lot to read, so you have to catch up there. 34 verses. So just catch up. Let's start. Start from one. Jesus is talking a lot about us and about the Father. Take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. What is today again? Father's Day. So it's always Father in heaven first, then our natural Father. So we thank God for the Father of the house. We thank God for our Heavenly Father and Father and our Apostle and all you fathers. Amen. Hallelujah. So our Father has reward for us. Say amen. He gives you reward when you are a giver. He said, but don't do it so that people will praise you. Do it so that people will praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. So you are asked to give. Amen? There's a glory that God will put on you instead of glory of men. May you receive the glory God put on you, not the glory men put on you. Your amen is weak. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Say amen. May God see all that you do behind the scene, and may he open you, reward you openly. Say amen. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as what the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Prayer meeting and praying is not only when you come to church. Your prayer life should always be more in your private closet. Say amen. Actually, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So every time you are in communion with God, say amen. You can talk to him about anything. Some of you talk more to your best friends and your friends than you talk to God. And you switch it and begin to talk to God more. Say amen. You can tell him anything and he doesn't have a sledgehammer to kill you. You can even tell him you stole somebody's pen in church and he will not kill you. Say amen. Say amen. You can talk to him about anything and he's there to listen to you. He's your best person. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, should you come to church to pray? Yes. But you should learn how to pray. Say amen. Prayer is easy. It's just talking to your Father. And he has no judgment against you. You can tell him your secret sin and he will not kill you. He will actually forgive you. Say amen. You can tell him your wicked thoughts and he will still accept you. Say amen. He will say, this child needs help. Let me help this child. Say amen. May God help you and may God help me. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Say amen. All our prayers are directed to God. Say amen. You pray to God, is God that answers. Okay, Jesus is the living word. God is the one who answers. So call on Abba Father when you pray. and your Abba will show up. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Well, when I was a kid, you know, the first prayer we learned at school was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know that prayer? Who knows that one? See, only two of us. Well, that was a prayer. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, can you stay with me? Bless the bed that I lie on. And when I wake up, if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That was the prayer. You say that every day. What kind of prayer is that? It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Not Abba, Father? But that was prayer. As children, we were taught that. Now, those of you who went to church as children, so Sunday school, don't teach that nonsense in this church. You teach prayer, pray to the Father. Say amen. Hallelujah. 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 I love all my Catholic friends, so praise the Lord. So you can tell I was Catholic growing up, and I switched. I needed more. Somebody shout hallelujah. At age 7, I switched, and I switched forever. I saw the Holy Ghost, and I went for it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Say big amen. Amen. See, amen is written there, so it's okay to say amen. He says, so let it be. Amen. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also what? Forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So when you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So if you have not forgiven all those who messed you around all week, you better say, I forgive fast right now. Everybody say, I forgive. We don't have religious people here. We have true Christians. Somebody say, I forgive. Say amen. Even that driver that cut you off on your way to church this morning that was driving crazy, say, I forgive. Say amen. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Somebody shout hallelujah. So it's okay to look nice when you go out, even when you're fasting. Don't just pour only shining oil on your face. Put a little powder or a little makeup. Or shave your beards or do something. Somebody shout hallelujah. Just, in other words, just keep yourself clean. Look presentable. Don't look like you came from the jungle. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Are we the children of the Most High God? Remember, we're talking about our Father and us, maker of heaven and earth, maker of all things. Somebody shout hallelujah. Okay, some I will make comment, most of them I will not, so we can quickly finish. But thou, verse 17, when thou fastest, we're already praying, so I'm going to say in Jesus' name at the end, I'm done. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Somebody shout hallelujah. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Say amen. So after we fast, we get reward. But do it in secret. Don't be broadcasting. You know what? I'm fasting. Oh, I'm so hungry. when is this fast going to be over? Oh my goodness, my stomach is growling. Oh, every time, every month, we are always fasting in church. I better look for a church that doesn't fast. No reward. Next time you are fasting, keep your mouth shut. Talk to God and just be glad because it's a command. The person speaking here is not apostles, it's not our disciples, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. We are commanded to pray, to give, to fast, and to forgive, and to depend on our Heavenly Father. It's a command. Somebody say, I will do them with joy. Every single one of them has a reward. So I want to be blessed openly. So if you see somebody who's blessed openly, they are doing something in the secret. Say, I want to copy that. Yeah. Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me as I follow what? The Lord Jesus. And this is Jesus telling us what to do. Say amen. You do these things, your health will be shining. COVID has no power over you. The same way it came, it will leave everybody. Pack your load and go. No room here for you. No rent. No accommodation. Say amen. Only the blessing of the Lord. Open blessing. Father, bless me that everybody will see it. You should be saying the same thing. It's okay to have open blessing. God says he will reward you openly. Say amen. Say amen. How would you like everything you have is debt-free? Your house, your car, your children's school fees, when they are getting married, their wedding, no debt. That's what we're talking about. Openly. They look at you, don't look much in their eyes, but in the eyes of God, you look great. And everything you are doing, you are forging ahead. Somebody say, do it to me, Lord. Say amen. All right, we did 20 already. Did we? Or 19? 19. Lay not. Okay, Lord Jesus, help me to finish reading. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Say amen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's a big one. The way you know where you are at is what is consuming your heart. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of what? Darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Did you hear that? There's a light that is inside people that is called darkness. Darkness is also a light. Why? Because that's how they see. They see with a dark mind, dark eyes, dark heart. Everything is dark. May you not have that kind of light. May you have the light that see the glory, that see the beauty of the Lord, that see greatness, that see goodness. Say amen. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Say amen. Say amen. You can't serve God and things. Just serve God and things will be added. Say amen. There's only one choice there, not two. Serve God and addition. I like that better. Serve mammon before God, you get zero. Everything is destruction. You gather and it's taken away. But when you serve God, you keep on moving step by step, higher and higher, little by little, step by step. Glory showing up in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, for your heavenly Father feedeth them. Say amen. God is taking care of them. You say, God, take care of me too. Me and my household. Here's a good place to say, me too. Say amen. Well, I've never seen a bird that has a passport. They just go wherever they want to go. I've never seen a bird that has a grocery store. They just eat whenever they want to eat. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I've never seen a lily that goes to buy clothes. They just have nice, beautiful clothing. And we love to put them in our yard. Somebody shout hallelujah. May God take care of you. Say, our Heavenly Father. Is he your Heavenly Father? So why can't you say, my Heavenly Father? Take care of me and my household. Say amen. Are you not much more than they? It is settled. You are more than that. So God will take care of you. Every winter, he creates a path. We who live in the northern hemisphere, he will create a path. The birds, because of the winter, they know their path. They just go to the south. Including even butterflies. They fly. They go on vacation. Fully paid for and provided. Even the path to get there is given to them. They know how to navigate through the airwaves. And God say, you are more than that. The Bible says the devil is the prince of the power of the air. You can navigate through them. That one flew over the cuckoo's nest. May you catch it in the name of Jesus. That means the prince of the power of the air has no power over you. You can navigate through. If butterfly and birds can go through, and geese, what about you? God says you are more than that. What he's put in you and invested in you is more than that. Say a big amen. 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, I've given you testimony over and over. You know, he takes care of my raiment. Somebody shout hallelujah. Does Apostle and myself don't look good this morning? Well, not by might, not by power, or by his spirit. Provider God. Those who help to take care of, sometimes come help take care of the house, help me at the house. I got more than enough. Somebody shout hallelujah. The more I offload it, the more it comes back in. Sometimes I want to complain, then I change my mouth. I say, oh Lord, you really said you will open the windows of heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. We've taught you how to buy without money. Enter and buy without money. God is your provider. You must stop worrying. Somebody say, I must stop worrying. Don't worry about your future. Heavenly Father will take care of you. He has more than a billion ways to take care of you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has made a plan for your life. And that plan will come to pass. Satan's plan will never come to pass. Your enemy's plan will never come to pass. What God says is what's going to happen. God is our provider. Somebody shout hallelujah. I don't know where you get a $50 material a yard. I'll get it for $1. I don't know. I don't know how that happens. Those who have traveled with me, I've seen it buy shoe. $100 or $1,000 shoe, I'll pay like a dollar something. I don't know how that happens. God makes a way. Somebody shouted over there, say, me too. The rest of you, you are just saying, Instead of it will be saying, me too. God say you are more than the birds, more than the lily. They are taken care of. I say, God, take care of me. Well, that's always what I say, God, take care of me. During this COVID, all the churches are busy taking loan and everything. Oh, come, we'll give you money. We didn't bother with that. If God can take care of us, let us close the place. God takes care of us. Somebody shout hallelujah. We can have church in our basement. We can have it in the living room. No more loans. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, by the time they give it to you later when they want to tie your hand and your leg together and your mouth, you will know. What you sign in, you'll be a partaker of. God is our provider. The bills are still paid. Somebody say big amen. Say, God, take care of me. Verse 30. We have four more. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye of little faith? Somebody say, my faith should rise now. Even mustard seed faith is enough. When he say, oh, you have little, almost like you are not even using the faith that is given to you. May you use it. Say amen. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what with us shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Say amen. But you seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall what? Take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May you 100% depend on God. And may God come through for you. Just do your part. Give in secret. Pray in secret. Fast in secret. Do all of that. Forgive. And depend on Father. And all these things shall be added unto you. Say a big amen. And so shall it be upon everyone we are praying for. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless us. So please repeat bulletin next week.
What a powerful passage of scripture. I'm convinced that the issue that faces us is not an issue of not knowing many times. The issue is the issue of doing. We read the word of God. It says, seek you first the what? The kingdom of God. Its righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Well, how many people really, truly act that way? The Lord says, don't be worrying about this and about that. Thank you, Mama, for sharing that passage with us today. But we spend most of our time fretting, worrying about things. And by our actions and our attitudes, we are boldly declaring that God doesn't have the capacity or the ability to do what he needs to do to meet all of our needs. That is living in the world of fear. But it is not the fear of God. And where God wants you and I today and every day of our lives, first thing he says, first thing I want you to know and what I require of you is to have a fear of God. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 says that. But what is this fear of God? That's what we've been talking about since last week. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God require? What does he want from you? But to fear the Lord thy God. And that's one thing that is so absent. I say absent because we don't know what it is. We know what it is, but we don't know. And my quest this morning, as it was last Sunday, is to bring us to an understanding of what is the fear of God? What does it mean to fear God? Psalm 34 and verse 11 clearly states to us that it is something that we don't have inherently inside of us. So it is something that has to be taught. The Word of God says, come, ye children, hearken unto me, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This is God speaking. God says, come, listen to me, I will teach you what the fear of God is. And the first thing he begins to tell us is about the control of our tongue. For the Word of God says in verse 12, 13, 14, it says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And that same passage is restated in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's about your tongue. God says, if you have a fear of God, first thing that you must understand is this. You must have full charge of your tongue. But James chapter 3 tells us that you cannot control your tongue. It says, the tongue is like the bit in the mouth of the horse. If that is it, then, and the Word of God says you cannot control your tongue. No man can tame their tongue. And God is talking to us about the taming of our tongue. And he says it's like the bit in the mouth of the horse. Then it is the one who is riding the horse, who's pulling on the reins. Hello, are you listening? The one who's pulling on the reins that tugs on the bit that is controlling. So whoever it is that is controlling you, whoever it is that's riding you is the one that's controlling your tongue. But what are these reins? That's your mind. So whoever it is that has charge of your mind, your thinking, what you have been meditating on, out of the fullness of that, you are going to speak. So the fear of God is about allowing Him to be Lord over your life. Amen? The fear of the Lord. It has to be taught. The Bible tells us that it has to be learned. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23. Deuteronomy 14 and 23 says this. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in one place, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. In other words, first thing, watch this, because we're going to talk about, let me read it all, and then I'm going to state it. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The place that you get to eat, the place where you get to eat the word of God, is the place where God has placed his name. Let me repeat that. Where you should be eating the word of God. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where God has placed his name, where you know, God has placed his name. God is in this place. He says, that's where you're going to eat, and that's where you bring the tithe of your corn. In that place that you know, and of thy wine, and of thine oil, and of the first fruits of the firstlings of thy herds and thy flocks, that thou mayest what? That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God when? Always. That's a key word, always. If you are not in the right place where God's word is being preached, and you are not in the place where you are given and honoring God with your tithes, with your offerings, with your worship, God says, you cannot learn the fear of God. There is a place. It's not every place that you're going to learn the fear of God. The place where God has marked out for you, that this is the place he's going to meet you. That's the place you learn the fear of God. Once you move out of that place that God has brought you to learn the fear of God, you will begin to falter. You begin to fail. You begin to experience total defeat, eternal defeat. Somebody listening? Are you listening? He says, come, my children, hearken, listen, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And God says, okay, I'm going to teach you, but are you willing to learn? It's one thing for me to teach you. It's another thing for you to learn. Hello? Learning takes attention. Paying attention, not allowing yourself to be distracted by anything or by anyone. Learning. Deuteronomy 17 and 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. The fear of God is about learning the words of the law, the words of God, and doing them. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ put it in another way. He said, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. If you fear God, you will keep his commandments. Oh, so if fearing God means keeping his commandments and loving God means keeping his commandments, the common factor of keeping his commandments is in those two words, fear and love. So the fear of God is the love of God. Hello? You cannot say you fear God if you don't love God. Oh, but it gets better. The word of God says, how can you say you love God if you don't love your what? Your brother. If you don't love the, if you say, I love God whom you cannot see. How can you say you love God whom you cannot see when you don't love your brother that you see? So the fear of God means the love of your brother. Rabba shendere broko sahe. When you, they asked him, the Lord, they said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, it's loving with all of your heart, soul, mind, your entire being. And the second is like the first, is equal to the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh, it's getting interesting. So it must mean then that fearing God means loving God. Fearing God means loving your neighbor. Fearing God means loving yourself. When you don't have self-love, you don't fear God. And the word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of understanding. You don't understand if you don't have the fear of God. But loving me as I love my neighbor means that if I don't want this thing to be done to me, I must not do it to my neighbor. If you do something that is hurtful to your neighbor, it must mean that you are doing something hurtful to you. Are we on the same page? Hurting your neighbor is hurting yourself. While I think I am stabbing my neighbor, I am really stabbing myself. Is somebody listening? Cursing my neighbor is cursing myself. So the word of God says, bless and curse not, because that's how you inherit the promises of God. You want the promises of God to be fulfilled in your life, and you think the fulfilling of those promises of God is going to happen because you have been fasting for 50 days. Sorry, that's not how it happens. What you want to happen in your life, you must invest into another person. The orange fruit has never drunk orange juice. The orange juice does not know how orange juice tastes. I am here to primarily do one thing. Pour what God has inside of me into you. And you are there to pour what God has in you into me. I get to know the goodness of God by knowing the goodness of you towards me. That is, if God is the one writing you. So if what I taste from you is bitterness, strife, and confusion, guess what? I know you are being written by something else. It's not God. Because a good God only produces goodness towards me. The devil is the one that wants me reduced. The devil is the one that wants me limited. The devil is the one that wants me to be bitter. The devil is the one that wants strife around me. But God wants goodness always in my life. That is how the Bible tells us it says, you will know them by their fruit. Hello? Are we speaking English? Greek? French? Ukrainian? Polish? Hallelujah. The fear of God is very practical. It's all around us every day. And when we have the fear of God, we'll be a united force together. A people walking together in the harmony of the Holy Spirit, doing the purposes of God, tearing down strongholds, recognizing you are not my enemy. You are my brother. You are my sister. We are one people under the lordship of Jesus Christ, declaring the purposes of God and tearing down the strongholds of darkness, declaring God is a good God. It's about working together under the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When I have the fear of God, I am under authority. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. Proverbs 15 and verse 3. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The first reference to that is in reference to what we talk about. God's eyes are in every place, and He sees the good and He sees the evil. He sees everything. Proverbs 5 and verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He sees the good and the evil. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And He doesn't just see what you're doing here. He says He pondered all His goings. God watches and goes deeper into what is motivating every action. Praise the Lord. Pondered it. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Everybody has, I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm doing this. Blah, 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 blah. He says, but the Lord pondered the hearts. Don't tell me you're doing the right thing. He says, I'm checking the heart. I know your motivation. Don't tell me any of that. You can fool your friend. You can fool your mother, fool your father, fool your brother, fool your sister, fool your principal, fool your boss, fool everybody else. But I know, if you have the fear of God, you know that He sees you. He sees everything. He knows everything. He understands everything. He knows the motivation of everything. Proverbs 24 and verse 12. If thou says, behold, we knew it not. I didn't know it. Doth not he that pondered the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his what? His works. So the fear of God is understanding that God is altogether wise, altogether all-knowing, all-seeing. I can tell you whatever story I want to tell you, but God checks your heart. He knows exactly what. He knows where the beef is at. He knows whether it's ribeye or prime rib. Hallelujah. He knows. Praise the Lord. God knows the details. Now, if that is true, every decision I make must be based on not what man is saying to me. Wake up. The decisions I make in my life must not be based on what I see in the surface and what somebody's telling me, but must be based on what is God saying. What is God showing? What does God see? What does God know about this? God, I want to know your will. Therefore, there shall not be any confusion. Hello? Praise the Lord. Psalm 25 and verse 14 puts it this way. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That knowing of what God knows happens because you have a fear of God. And he says, and he will show them his covenant. You show them his covenant. Another translation says he will show you the way that you need to go. The decision you need to make is founded in having a fear of God. Praise God. Secret of God is revealed. Angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear God. The fountain of life comes forth from those that fear God. Hallelujah. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. Job 28 and verse 28. Listen to this. It says, and unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord. He says, behold it. That is wisdom. Beholding the fear of the Lord. He says, that's wisdom. And to depart from evil, for you to depart from doing the wrong thing, he says, that's understanding. You don't understand if you are joining yourself with evil. That's not understanding. Because whatever you join yourself with, you begin to become part of. If I get a grape and I graft it to an orange, very sweet orange, guess what we're going to get? A hybrid that's neither sweet nor sour. It's a different thing. And there's so much of that happening today, and it's not helping us as a people. We've got cauliflower being mixed up with broccoli, whatever that is. Strange things. Huh? You are not going to be pure, walking in the purity of God, if you are not continuing in righteousness. Listen, in the book of Haggai, the Bible tells us, it says if there's an unclean stuff and it touches that which is holy, will that which is holy make that which is unclean clean? And he said, no. So you think that somebody is walking in unrighteousness, walking in a way that is not the way of God, but you are so smart, you're going to change them. God says, it's not going to happen. Before you know it, you hot, hot, hot. With them, cold, cold, cold. You're going to become lukewarm, warm, 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 warm. And I'm going to spit you out. Don't do it. All you can do for somebody who is blatantly walking wrong is to pray for them. Having coffee with them is not going to help them, because they will never learn that they've made an error. Hello? You can pray. You can cry to God and say, God, you got to do something here. And God will, he already promised, I will never leave nor forsake you. But it says, do not be unequally yoked. Is that what it says? Because they're going to drag you off. You're not going to drag them into anything. They're going to drag you off. All you can do is truly pray. You can talk. You can counsel. You can pray. But let me be your friend. No, that's not the friend you need. Because if you have the fear of God, you know to separate yourself from what is not going to glorify God in your life. You cannot save a man deep in a 60-foot well by jumping inside the same well. Hello? You jump inside those, inside that same well, now we've got two people to save. You can throw them a rope, but be certain that if you are throwing them a rope, that you have enough muscle to pull them out. Because while you're trying to pull them out, you might get pulled back in. So if you're going to get somebody inside a well out, have enough backup. Hello? Are you going in there? You know, that's why, for my own protection, if somebody says something wrong around me, I don't care who it is, I would take the side of what I believe to be the truth. You can not like me. I am your husband. Why aren't you agreeing with me? Yes, I am your wife. I'm here to help you not to get messed up. So I will tell you what the truth is. Vice versa. Hello? It's my husband. So whatever it is that he's doing, I have to agree with it. No. 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 The Lord Jesus Christ said, your father and your mother, they are out there waiting for you. He says, no. Let me tell you, it is the ones that are doing the will of my father. That's my father and my mother, my brother and my sister. The one that's doing the will of God. That's it. Period. Did Jesus make that statement? Oh, it's my friend, so I've got to do what my friend is doing. Okay. When you end up in he double sticks, your friend is going to be there saying, he's a good guy. No, that's not how it goes. You got to make your own personal relationship with God so firm, so strong. Be true. Hallelujah. Be steadfast in faith. And that's what God wants. Praise the Lord. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The Word of God says in this psalm, makes it very clear. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord. That's the beginning. That's not the end. That's where you start. A good understanding have all they that do his what? Commandments. You have good understanding when you're doing his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Hallelujah. You will continue to praise God. That's basically what it's saying. You will continue to praise God, and the praise of God will never cease out of your life as you continue to obey the wisdom and the understanding of God, because you have a fear of God. You will always have a praise in your mouth. I will draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. The people who have the fear of God have the joy of the Lord. You have the fear of God, you don't have the joy of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says to us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Not just the beginning of wisdom, it is the beginning of knowledge. And a good understanding have those who are obeying the commandments of God. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise wisdom. In other words, they despise the act of loving God and loving each other. They despise the obedience of the word of God. For a wise man is a man who comes, hears his words, and does them. That's a wise man. A foolish man comes, hears, but doesn't do what he's heard. So fools despise wisdom and they despise instruction. This fear of God, are you with me? The word of God is so rich. You know, the word of God tells us that God is wisdom, and there's a whole chapter in the Proverbs that just talks about wisdom. Personalized wisdom. Fools despise wisdom. Fools are those who say there is no God. So fools who despise wisdom despise God. They despise God and the instructions of God. If you're going to make a decision, there is a God way of making it. If you are not doing what you know to be true, the God way, you are despising instruction and you are despising God, because you think your way is the way that is better than God's way. My way is better than God's way. So I decide I'm not going to honor God with my tithe and my offerings, because my way is better than my God's way. After all, God knows that I need to eat. Yes, he does. So because God knows that I need to eat, he knows that I don't need to honor him with my tithe and my offering, because I got to eat. It's a smart way of thinking, but it's the dumbest way of thinking. Because you know that if God requires this of you, And your faith is not in what you have, but in the God who has you. You come to God yourself and say, God, you know my need. But I come in obedience to you and to your word. I release this cheerfully. And I thank you for your provision. You don't know how God is going to meet your need. But I can assure you, God will never owe you not a dime. God will find a way to correct that situation. That's how, while we're on Dufferin over here, living there in Dufferin, our rent was almost $300 a month. And overnight, God turned it around, and we're paying, I think it was about $19 for the same, how many bedrooms? One, three bedrooms, two bathrooms, everything. Less than $20. And I paid that for months until we moved from there to our place on Jack Donner. God made provision. But I can tell you that while I was there, the devil was such a bad devil. Such a bad devil. Couldn't work in this country. Couldn't work. And we were not going to do anything illegally. We had to trust God. So God, make provision for us. Help us. And sure enough, the Lord did. But I was one time, I had somebody living with us. He's no longer with us now. He's gone home to be with the Lord, young man. Anyway, I was telling him, and I was pastoring a church just down the street here. And I was saying to this guy, I said, I'm really going through some financial issues right now. Don't know what I'm going to do about it. And he says to me, do you tithe? I said, yeah, of course I do. He said, that's your problem. Just watch this. I'm the pastor. Are you with me? I am the what? The pastor. And I am his pastor. And he's telling me that I'm making a mistake. That should have told me right there, you're part of my problem. You don't tithe. Anyhow, so he says, God understands. Just keep some of it until your legs are, you know, proper out, and then you can start tithing again. I didn't say I agreed with him or anything like that, but sure enough, I did not honor God with my tithe, and everything started falling apart. The washing machine goes. The dryer goes. The fridge is going. Everything is falling apart. I said, Lord, what is going on here? He said, it's your tithe. Fix it with your tithe. I said, Lord God Almighty, I repent. Ah, so this is how it's going to be. I cannot rebuke the devourer for your sake. So the devourer is here to take what he got to take. The reality is this. Are you listening? Everybody tithes. Everybody honors with a tithe. You either give it to God or it's going to the devil. It's just the way it is. But you honor God, Because you have a fear of God and don't despise the instruction that is given, God's grace begins to release into you great grace, great favor, great peace. And things begin to fall into place. People that you don't know about your problem begin to release stuff into your life. You know, I couldn't sleep last night because, you know, God was saying for me to bring this envelope to you. And you open it. Wow, this is exactly what I needed. How did you know? They might be going home and say, I wish I'd kept that money. Your happiness may not be happiness for them, but sometimes it might just be the source of great joy for them to know, oh wow, I heard God. Thank you, Father. I heard you. Fear of God, it is learned, should be appreciated, should be pursued with all of your heart. There's so much more to share with you. Well, let me share this with you. You see, because this fear of God ultimately make the difference between whether you are going to finish your race and be welcomed by God, rewarded by God, or you are going to fail and lose out on everything. Fear of God. To illustrate this particular aspect, come with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers 22. The book of Numbers, chapter 22. This is a passage of scripture that every child of God needs to familiarize themselves with. The children of Israel are going, of course, they're going to the promised land. They've defeated the king Sihon and Og. And there are these people, Moabites, Midianites. Midianites were, in a sense, family, the Midianites. They are children that Abraham had with his wife Keturah. So they should be family and they should be ministering to the people of Israel. But while Israel is coming through, they won't give Israel any kind of support. Instead, their king, a king called Balak, decides that he's going to curse the people of Israel. The name Balak means a devastator. This one who wants to devastate. He doesn't want Israel blessed. He wants to devastate the people of God. So he sorts out and finds a man. The Bible calls his name Balaam. Balaam. Now Balaam, the Bible tells us, is a prophet. Balaam is a prophet. And his name is an interesting one. His name, Balaam, means not of the people. We don't belong together. However, God graced him with the ability to see visions with his eyes wide open. He'll dream dreams. He called himself the man who sees God. Actually, most of the scripture, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to a person. But when it talks about Balaam, the word of God says, and God came to. That's how high class this man was. God, that no man can see, God comes to him. Not just his word, the word of the Lord came to me. God came to Balaam. Over and over and over and over again. And whatever Balaam said, that was it. So Balak, the devastator, looks for this man. He says, I want you to come and I want you to curse these people. There's a people that have come into the land and they're going to be trouble. So I want you to come curse them. Because I know whoever it is that you curse, that person's going to be cursed. So they come to Balaam. He sends these princes and they come to Balaam and they tell Balaam what they wanted. Balaam says, okay, let me go talk to God. Then I'll tell you what God says to me. And he goes and he talks to the Lord. And the Bible says God came to him. And God says to him, nope, you can't do that. No, you can't. Verse 10, and Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, had sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Hallelujah. They are blessed. You cannot curse them. So he wakes up and he tells the princes of Moab, no, the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. I can't go with you. I can't go curse them. So go home. So they left. And they tell Balak, and Balak sends more high level officials and they come. And Balaam says to them, listen, even if your boss, your king, gives me a house filled with gold and silver, I am not going to go. But just wait, let me go check again. That tells you where the heart is. Yeah? Of everything I'm going to say to you right now, I really need for you to hone in and stick with this. Nothing is more important than this right now. So he goes and he talks to God. And what do you think God said? After he'd sent princes after princes, actually, it seems like this was not just the second time, this is like third, fourth time. These people have been coming, he's been bringing all kinds of princes and trying to convince him to do this. He says, let me go check again. Balak says, if you do this, verse 17, for I will promote thee unto every great honor, everything that you need, I'm going to give to you, and I will do what thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry here, also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. Verse 20, and God, read it with me. And God came unto whom? Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. What did God say? God said, rise up and what? Go with them. What does that mean? It means rise up and go. That is 100% permission, right? So the morning he wakes up and he goes with them. And who is waiting for him on the road? An angel of the Lord with a big sword ready to kill him. Someone listening? God said, go. Sometimes go does not mean go. I said, sometimes go does not mean what?
Go.
Even if God told you. When he's told you before, don't go, don't go, don't go. But your eyes go nyang, 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 and you think, oh yeah, it's better over there. Green grass. Go. But just do what I want. Just go. The guy starts going. Angel of the Lord is there, ready to kill him. The guy, the prophet, is so blind. I want to encourage you to read this chapter because I don't want to keep on reading. If I keep on reading, I'm going to keep you here longer. I mean, if you can say amen to that. So the angel is there, ready to kill the prophet. The prophet can't see anything. The one who can see with his eyes wide open cannot see an angel. Who is seeing? His ass. And his donkey is busy saving his behind. I don't want to be vulgar. I really want to say it, but I don't think I should say it. Praise the Lord. So here's the angel. And finally the angel moves to a spot, and this animal keeps on ducking and protecting Balaam. So finally the angel stands in a place where that animal cannot go left or right. It has to just, it's right there. And just ready to kill Balaam. The same Balaam God said, go. Ready to kill him. And the animal sees this and just crushes Balaam's foot against the wall because he was trying to move out, and then it collapsed. And Balaam is busy hitting the animal. Pow! Pow, you foolish animal! And the animal starts talking. He says, have I ever done anything like this before? I've always been good to you. Why are you hitting me? Well, because you are busy not doing what I want. God opens Balaam's eyes and he sees the angel. You need to apologize to your apologize to your donkey. Because this donkey has saved you, man. But God, you told him to go. Oh, Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel tells us. Ezekiel tells us in chapter 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 3. I'm going to read through this and then pull it together and let it be as it should be. He says, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. And that was a problem with Balaam. He had an idol in his heart. His desire, his goal, his vision for himself. What looks good. Nobody told him about a house of silver and gold. That's what he wanted. It's just a lion. He says, they put idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all? By them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that set up his idols in his heart and put a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord, not the devil, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. I'll tell him exactly what he wants to hear. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Sounds like the name of Balaam, not of the people. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Verse 7, for everyone of the house of Israel or the stranger that sojourned in Israel which separated himself from me and set up his idols in his heart and put a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and come to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I the Lord will answer him by myself. Who's going to answer him? God. He says, I will answer him by myself. Verse 8. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Isn't that incredible? Next verse. And if the prophet be deceived, then it must be because he, the prophet, also has idols in his heart. When he had spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. 10. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. You see that? God says, you got idols in your heart? I ponder the heart. I know what's in there. You want to come here? You think you want to fool me? Okay, I'll show you who fools who. He says, I personally, I'm going to talk to you. And I'm going to tell you exactly what you want to hear and then kill you. Because you don't have anything to do with me. Say, well, Pastor, that's in the Old Testament. Really? You think God has changed, eh? God says, you prophet, you got deceived because you saw money. Now you're saying whatever the people want to hear. So I will get rid of you too. Why? He has a greater purpose. Verse 11. Reason that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me. That's why I'm going to deal with that prophet and deal with you. So that the fear of God strikes you so deeply that you don't depart. Neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and that I may be what? Their God. What does Balaam do? Balaam is taken by Balak to three different points. And in each place he prophesied correctly based on what God said. Three places he was taken to. But his eyes were still so locked up by the idols of his heart that he said to Balak, I tell you what, I cannot curse them, okay? I can only bless them based on what God said, but I got a secret. So what's the secret? The secret is this. Get your women to go seduce them, huh? And if they get seduced, they will come out of the covering of the blessing. Then you can destroy them. Who told them that? Balaam. Balaam told them that. And guess what they did? Exactly that. So badly that they were so involved in that mess that one of the guys grabs a Midianite woman, a Moabitess, brings her into the camp and was fornicating with that woman in the presence, in the face of leadership. One of the priests took a javelin and came right where they were busy sucking face, pierced them right through, killed them right there. When people don't have the fear of God, it gets worse and worse. The deception of the enemy is so intrusive, you must not allow it. You must have the fear of God in your life. And anything that tries to water down the capacity, your capacity to walk in that fear, that love of God, that reverence of God, you must shun it. I don't care where it's coming from. You must cut it off. If it's coming from your father, cut it off. Coming from your mother, cut it off. Coming from your brother, cut it off. Coming from your sister, cut it off. Coming from your uncle, your cousin, your friend, your family member, your boss, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. If it is not founded in the basis of the founding grace of God's love, cut it off. It will poison you. And the Bible says that Balaam got killed with the rest of them. And God rehearses the story of Balaam about how terrible this man was. This was a man that was a man of honor. And I see that same thing happening in our world again. I know of a man of God, one of the greatest ministries of our day. When I say one of the greatest, I mean one of the greatest. Bodying up with the One World Church. What gives you that drive for that? And doing it in the name of God. In the name of what God? It's very clear in the Word of God that you don't become part of that One World Church. It's very clear. It's there. You cannot be ignorant of that, except the idols of your heart have blinded you so much that you are now marrying yourself to that which is of the devil. I cannot be part of that nonsense. I don't care who it is. Not only in child of God, I'm not kidding you here. When I tell you there are so many mighty men and women of God, the people that you know, who like Balaam prophesied the truth, will only say what God said, but now are marrying themselves with a false church, a false faith. If I begin to mention names now, you run out of here. Say, no, that cannot be true. But it is absolutely true. They are on your television. If you look on that television today, look on that television, I can guarantee you that you will not be able to count on to 10 people that you know are powerful, anointed ministries and not touch some of these people I'm talking to you about. Right now, the spirit of Balaam, the fear of God, when it is gone, it will cause you to marry yourself to the world. You cannot allow anything, not silver, not gold, not notoriety, not fame, not ambition, anything. Self-ambition will cause you to betray yourself. And find other solutions. And child of God, you must denounce it with everything that's within you and cry out to God and say, God, help me never to betray the integrity of who you are and pursue after that which is foolishness. In the name of God. See, when you're deceived, you still think you are in God, but you are so far off. Don't do it. Rise with me. Father, on this Father's Day, 21st day of June, the year 2020, we cry out to you and we say, Father, help us now. You said you will teach us the fear of God. Lord, we come to your feet and we are willing and ready to learn. Teach us, O God. Teach us the fear of God. Teach us, O God. Teach us, O God, that, well, Lord, my God, that we will be obedient. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The word says, O God, that he that winneth souls is wise. Lord, O God, may we be wise because we are sold out, O God, to making certain, O God, that we bring people to you. That the focus be about you, not about us. That we win them to you, not to ourselves. That our language is not about, look what I've done, but look what the Lord had done. And it is marvelous in our eyes. May the grace of humility take a hold of us so that we do not pursue our own vision, our own dreams, and our own passions, our own desires, but let everything about us be about glorifying you, our exalted King, forever. We humble ourselves, Father, and we say, take hold of us and help us be all that you say we should be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We're going to share in communion right now, and then I'm going to pray another prayer. Take the elements of communion. When the Lord releases me to, I'm going to share with you more in detail about this that we do every Sunday. So that understanding will bring us into a place of wholeness. So you know what a mighty weapon this is. This that you're holding in your hand, see there, is a powerful weapon. And the Lord has been speaking to me about it. I don't know when he's going to release me to share it, but I will soon. Amen. This is the body of the Lord. This is the body that was broken for us, for our redemption, our deliverance, our peace. He says, as often as you take of this body and you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. And you've heard me say many times that remembrance is not just a function of what you're remembering memory, but remembering is you recognizing that you are a member in the body of Christ. Every one of us are particular members. And to remember is God bringing us together, fitting us together, so that when people see us together, they see Jesus. Can you imagine? It's like a puzzle. If you have a puzzle of the Lord, let me put it this way. There's a father that was being disturbed by his little child, tugging on him, he's trying to do his work. And so he figured, okay, you know what? I better get her busy with something else. So he had a map with him. And he cut this map into different pieces and says, when you put everything back together properly, then I'll do what you want. So the kid goes out, comes back less than 5 minutes later. He's 5 years old. He says, I did it. Dad looks at it. How on earth did you do that? He said, well, I just put Jesus together. Because on the other side of that map was a picture of Jesus. And when she put Jesus together, the world came together. Hallelujah. So also, today, as we are brought together, people will see who Jesus is. Take of this body and eat. Say with me, Lord, help me to know where you have placed me and to participate fully in the place you've called me to, so that you, Lord, will be seen for who you are, the God of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now take off this cup and drink. The blood shed for the remission of sins. The blood given so that we can experience the manifold blessings of the Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Raise your hand. Everyone in this household. Don't worry about playing anything right now. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that your glory be made manifest. This day, I declare by the authority of your word, Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. Loose your hold off of my life now and forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I declare that every curse, every iniquity that has traveled through time and space, through the lineage of my parents, on my father's side and on my mother's side, wherever they are, Lord, oh God, any iniquity by the act of sexuality, any iniquity through fornication or adultery in my past, any iniquity generated by marriage, Lord God Almighty, this day, all the impact of those iniquities I erase by your truth and by your mercy off of my life forever. In the name of Jesus, all iniquities be removed now. In Jesus' mighty name, I am sanctified and holy unto the Lord. No curse can take root in my life. Not now, not ever. In Jesus' name. And Lord God Almighty, I declare by the authority of your word that my life is sanctified unto you. I will not, because of your grace, put any seed that will become a line of iniquity that will cause my children or my children's children to be entrapped. Lord God Almighty, deliver me from all evil. I have understanding and I depart from evil. I am wise. I receive knowledge. I receive understanding, I receive wisdom, and I'm walking in the fullness of the goodness of God. I am blessed, and highly favored. Father, thank you that your blessings are bestowed upon me, and every yoke of Satan is destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And finally, we're going to honor God with our giving. Take this time to honor God with your tithe, with your offerings, with your vows, with your first fruits. Whatever it is God has spoken to you, honor God today. Amen. He is your heavenly Father. The Lord says, I am going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Today, honor God. Amen. With the giving that you bring before him, may he see it and may he cause it to multiply greatly. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Look forward to ministering to you again tonight. God bless you. Love you. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. And by inference, happy Mother's Day to all mothers that made fathers fathers. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Good day.